I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on this episode of the Quick and the Dirty podcast, I gotta say, we laugh a lot with one of the funniest people ever. Her name is Lori Gibbs. She's a stand-up comic. She's a speaker, and she's also a colleague of ours, a broadcaster at CHFM in Calgary.
We did it a couple of weeks ago when we were in Jamaica and all in one place, and there is a lot happening behind the scenes. At some point, you'll realize we're a little tipsy. We've had some cocktails and we are drinking while we do it.
Yeah, we're half cut basically when we did the pod. It gets away from you, doesn't it? I feel like those mimosas really kick in quick.
And also you'll hear some lawn equipment that I quickly go shut down.
Yeah.
I totally pulled a, do you know who we are?
But you know the best part is in the podcast is that they shut it down all right. I left this podcast feeling so lucky that I have Lori Gibbs in my life. And I know you feel the same way too, Hillary.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about finding your girl army, finding your people that are your people and loving everything about them.
Yes.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
Typically at this time, we would do something called The Quick, where Hillary and I check in about ways in which our life went horribly wrong. Or we failed. But I think I'd like to forego that this week and just say a giant thank you to everyone who has reached out with so much positivity after last week's release of Mama's Boy, the podcast where we interview my transgender son, Olsen. And it was something else, eh, Hills?
It was really special. And thank you so much for letting me be a part of that conversation and letting that happen and being so open. I know you were kind of scared leading up to the podcast. You were unsure if you wanted to have Olsen on because you've had to be such a mama's bear.
I guess I just wanted to really protect him and his story. And he's always said he never considers himself a trans boy. He just considers himself a boy. So I wanted to be respectful to that. But he is the one who said he was ready to move forward with the story only because he wants to maybe one day, help other kids who are in the trans community and maybe do something good. Judging by the response we had, he did a lot of good last week. And Hillary, I don't remember being so emotional. I'm all about pushing down my feelings, all about it. But over the last few days, I've been weepy and tear. I'm either pregnant. I don't know what's going on, but
it's called perimenopause.
Is that what it is? I've been so weepy because people have been sending me notes that have made me cry. And I'm like, I don't understand what the feelings are. And it's been so emotional. And maybe that's one of the reasons I didn't want, it's taken so long for us to have Olsen on the podcast because I knew it would be.
But I think, Sandra, that you handled it so well. And I don't think we really understand how much of an effect being open and sharing in a respectful way can really help other people realize what's going on in the world. Like, yeah, if you're not affected by it.
I didn't think that this podcast would take off. He's an interesting kid. He has an interesting story. I don't think I expected the response that we got from it. But when I tell you I've received dozens and dozens and dozens of notes, I'm not kidding. Some public, some private. But there is one that I do want to read for you. And I'm just going to give you a heads up, Hills. Niagara Falls is going to happen. I can't even look at it without getting emotional.
Do you have tissues ready?
Or no,
are you good to go?
No, and I'm not even wearing waterproof mascara. So this is going to go ugly in it. My smoky
eye. Say goodbye to your
go
smoky eye, B.
Okay. I won't say the person's name. But
okay.
She says, Sandra, I have got to say that I've always been a believer of you love who you love and you can't control that. But I also believe that it's not right to start messing with your body as far as making physical changes. With that said, you and Olsen have helped me to better understand why a person would want to make those changes for their mental health. I have four children. My third child was born a girl and her life mirrored Olsen's. She told me a few years ago she also likes girls and that she is a lesbian. I now wonder if she was also transgender and was afraid to tell me because of my views. Thank you to both of you for helping me see things in another light. And I'm going to tell my daughter to listen to the podcast and then sit down and have a conversation with her and let her know that she can tell me anything.
Oh.
It made me so happy.
Well, you started out angry, right?
When I first read it like, oh, good. Another one that doesn't think that you should, you know what I mean? That's where I thought that letter was going. And then it didn't go that way at the end. And it made me very happy, really happy. I showed it to Olson too and made him very happy. He got so many nice notes from people, listeners of our podcast who directly messaged him on social media. We did tag his identity so you know who he is, which also scared the shit out of me. But mm-hmm. So people were reaching out to him directly and not one person was a dick. And I'm so happy. And it embarrasses me somewhat when people go off on me like I'm this great parent.
Because you think Olsen is the real, not star, but he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's the one who has to be his true, authentic self every single day. He's the one that gets stared at. He's the one that has to explain for people who may remember him from 10 years ago that things have changed. I don't know what my job is except to support him. And the other thing he doesn't know, that everything he feels, I feel 5 times as hard because that, as parents, that's what we do.
All right, let's lighten this up a little bit. Not that we're not making jokes, but we are going to talk to one of the best bees of all time.
They don't get better than this. And like we said off the top, this was one of our favorite podcasts. And I just don't
remember. I feel like we say that every week.
I know we do. Here's what I loved about it. It didn't feel like a podcast to me. It felt like exactly what have been the conversation the three of us would have had if we were poolside drinking mimosas.
Because we were.
Oh, that's right. But that's what it felt like to me. And I walked away going, that is why I called you and we started this, so that we could have those honest conversations. And this is just like like 45 minutes of girl talk that you're about to hear. And I loved every second of this. Loved it.
All right, we are so lucky to have on our podcast today one of the funniest women I have ever met in my life. I've never met anyone so go girl as this woman.
Yes.
She has her boob out right now.
She popped her boob out, guys. I don't know. I feel like if you're winning in the podcast world right now. She's also a stand-up comedian that you may have seen at various places across Canada and North America. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast one of our best bitches, Miss Lori Gibbs.
Yay! We forgot to mention she's also a radio professional. She
oh, yeah, that's right,
Calgary.
Too. That's right. She's at
CHFM.
Oh, yeah. I do hate to dwell on details, but I'm actually an unprofessional radio person.
I agree with that.
So,
yeah, you're too nice to be like a professional radio person.
I'm too nice to be a comedian, too, to be honest with you, but don't let it get out. People will take advantage of me.
But you fell into the comedy world later in life. You didn't pick up stand-up comedy until, your 30s?
Oh, my God, no. I was 40, and on my 40th birthday party, well, it was a surprise party. We went out for dinner first, just my husband and my best friend and her boyfriend. And her boyfriend lets out this secret, even my husband doesn't even know. He goes, "Hey, Lori, I hear you've always wanted to try stand-up." My husband looks at me like he's just met me. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Because, you know, when you have a crazy dream that you don't really think will come true, you don't want to tell anyone because then they can hold you accountable for being
absolutely
a wuss. So it was just my secret thing.
That was losing weight for me.
See? We all have that stuff. So for 20 years, from 20 to 40, I was scared. I was so, so scared to get on that stage. And then I just got so bone tired of living in fear about it. So I said, 40, fearless, I'm doing it. And my first gig was at a Deer Valley United Church ladies healing retreat. They said healing through laughter. Oh my Lord. It felt right from the second I got in it. I cried.
Did they throw you out? I could only
that
imagine.
That is the funniest part. You know, and I always say there must have been a part of me that knew it was going to go well despite the decades of insecurity, because beforehand I took a mini pad and I just put it in my bra, and at one point in the show a lady in the back row named Pat, she was doubled over laughing, and I pulled out the mini pad and I said, "You need this more than I do right now." Now, God love Pat, she comes to me after the show, which is in quotes because I didn't know what I was doing. She hands me the mini pad and said, "Could I just get you to autograph? I want to keep this with my teacup collection."
Oh, the start of a glorious comedy career right there.
I knew.
And then you knew. So you've been on the comedy circuit for at least a decade now.
13 years.
Not to guess your age or anything like that,
I'm
or give
53.
It away. You're 53. I don't know what I.
Damn, girl, you look good.
Thanks. I feel good. I feel like a child.
Do you know how you know you look good?
Uh-uh.
If Hillary motorboats you, has she yet?
Every waking moment.
Security.
I'm sorry. I'm getting chafed around the areolas. And thank you.
Oh, my God. Lori, we met you, I think it was a year ago, when we were broadcasting live at another Sandals resort. You were new to the CHFM morning show.
Yeah.
You came in, and I can speak for myself only. I loved you the instant I met you because you're more than just a funny lady. You embody warmth. There's something very warm about you. So I would imagine you have...
Sorry.
And that's not the hot flashes.
It's my crotch.
Right?
It's my crotch.
It's true.
In case anyone's wondering. And but it just radiates.
You do.
I'm sorry.
No, it's like a magnet to your crotch. It's true.
I'm sorry. That is a beautiful compliment, and I actually got choked up before I made the crotch joke. I did. That's
so,
very
so that begs the next question. Do you use comedy as a defense mechanism?
Oh, of course I do, but I don't, you know, I love humor. I love somebody's face right before it turns into a laugh. It like, oh, there's, I got the semi goosebumps right now. It brings such joy to me that I'm not necessarily doing it as a defense mechanism, but I'm doing it because I love that look. It just revs me up.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted. That's not the sound of me motorboating. That's the sound of someone cutting the lawn over there. Do you think it's rude if I ask them to stop?
You know, no, it's fine. It's what? Ambient noise. It's fine.
You say a crotch one time and a weed whacker shows up. Like, what even just happened?
What's going on in your garage? Okay, I got to stop. I'll be back. You ladies chat.
Is she actually going to tell them to stop? Okay, well, Hillary's going now. You and I can shit talk her now. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Everyone thinks she's so nice.
I don't know what she's gonna. She's probably gonna let him motorboat her. Oh, it just
look. She didn't even come around the corner, and he's already turned it off.
Look, listen to how apologetic she is too. She goes, "I'm so sorry," but he's like,
she's saying, "I'm so sorry," but it's Lori Gibbs, and he just like fell on the ground, fainted. He's like, "You have Lori Gibbs over there.
Do you think he'll recover?"
Probably not. I've left a trail of gardeners in my wake.
Is Hillary now just going to the bar?
I think
Hillary, are
is.
You going to the bar?
She's a very dedicated partner in this podcast.
Hillary, can I get a mimosa and some water? Do you want anything, Lori?
I have some water because I'm good at pacing myself.
Are you?
Yeah,
that's
I
not
really
pacing
am.
Yourself. It's fucking water.
Yeah,
that's not a.
Yeah, but
water isn't a pace car, Lori. I'm sorry.
No, but it makes me feel somewhat healthy every now and then.
Are you a drinker?
I have decided I'm not a big drinker, although a lot of people assume I am because I'm silly all the time. And if you're not a silly pants, you look at someone who's silly and go, well, they must be high or drunk. No, not necessarily. That's just how I am. I would prefer, if I'm going to get a little tipsy, daytime, day drunk for sure, because then I can have a nap and then I can have a normal evening. Never hungover.
Also, I love you a little more for saying that because day drunk is my life.
Mm.
I like getting day drunk, but I don't have the system in place where I nap and then I do round two.
Okay, well.
I continue to get drunk. I don't know.
I don't know who's ahead, you or me.
I know. We're talking about Hillary's back. Oh, you didn't come. I thought you were going to the bar. No?
I've ordered drinks. They're going to flag me when
atta girl.
Ready.
Unbelievable.
Atta girl. So we're talking about drinking right now, Hillary.
Right.
And she likes to get day drunk. She takes a little nap and then she can have a normal evening and not be hungover. That's the system she has in place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I do something called the stay drunk.
stay drunk related closely to the day drunk, but not at all.
That's right. And that's a big finish.
Right. No. That's where you stay sort of moderately drunk all day. You have a little extra just before bed. So when you wake up, you're still a little drunk in the morning.
I think a lot of people are learning from us, don't you?
I got to tell you, a couple of days ago, we were here at Sandals South Coast, Jamaica. And a couple of days ago, we were in the giant main pool. You know, they have these gloriously amazing main pools.
Yes.
Hillary comes in shit-faced.
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever seen you that drunk in the daytime.
I didn't feel that drunk, which is the terrible part.
We were watching her. She was doing the mermaid in the pool, and we're like,
what do you mean the mermaid?
What does that look like?
Her feet are very tight together, and she's like doing like little dolphin moves in the pool, and we're like, what in the hell?
It's called the breaststroke.
No, you were going in and out. That's the water with your little. No, you were going underwater, just like a dolphin, and it was adorable. But you broke away from the crowd to dolphin, and then came back. Like, what the hell is happening?
I don't like staying in one place for very often, which is hard to believe because I'm a chubby person. You'd think I'd be quite sedentary.
Can I tell you what the working theory?
I also have a little ADD. I need to like leave and
yes.
come back.
The working theory was you went to pee in the pool over there.
Oh, God, no. I'm an anti-pool peer.
I'm a pro-ocean peer and an anti-pool peer.
Do you want to know a confession?
Yes.
When we were on the catamaran the other day, it was glorious because I was born and raised in Vancouver, so I love the rain. So we're halfway. We're just the sun's baking. I'm on the little netting at the front of the catamaran, and I'm posing, you know, naturally.
Yeah, you were doing like some serious 1940s pinup posing.
I truly, truly was.
Please tell me you weren't peeing while you were posing.
I was not. I waited for the rain.
No.
And everybody went undercover and started dancing. I stayed on my net. And I thought, you know, I could go down and see where those ladies' rooms are, or we could condition the fabric of this netting.
You know what? I respect that because I'm a no bare feet in the bathroom kind of person, and you had to barefoot it.
Yeah. There were enough waves that, hey, we all got rinsed off. Everything
so
was cool.
So did you just like move your bathing suit over a little bit to give like, so you didn't have an
I
extra layer?
I did like a reverse Kegel a few times.
I love that we all have three very different ridiculous laughs.
Yes.
Is that when you shit yourself?
What is the reverse? You've gone too far. That's too when far. You know you've gone too far.
The Kegel did not work. Wrong hole.
We're going to need a bigger net.
Oh, Laurie. Okay. Back to you, Laurie.
Yes.
Stand-up comedy. Mm. You're 40 years old. Your life changes drastically. You go to the church and you make the old ladies laugh in their pad.
Yeah.
Hold on. Our drinks are coming. Oh.
And what a sexy, sexy deliverer.
Thank you.
Brian. Our last partner on the podcast, Brian, our audio engineer.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. You're lovely.
Thank you.
We all just watched him walk away.
Yeah, we did.
Let's just tell everyone. We all just took a moment without planning it.
He's strutting a little bit.
He's an attractive man, isn't he? He's a nice looking man.
And tender.
He is nice. He's sweet.
Lori.
Mm-hmm. Focus.
Yeah.
Lori.
Yeah.
Okay, where were you?
So we're making the old ladies pee into the past.
We asked about comedy being a defense mechanism.
Oh, right.
Because I know you take joy in making people laugh. I think anybody who's funny really does. But have you ever asked yourself why you have that need?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I grew up getting... I was pretty harshly teased by a stepdad and a brother. And so if I could divert from that or get ahead of it on the playground, like it was always, let's put it straight, it was always to soften being fat, okay?
Right,
because I have been I think 346 was my highest and have struggled with it my whole life. And so I thought, well, if I get a personality that can distract people from that, maybe they'll like me, which is a shitty place to come from, but I also know that a lot of people know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So you and I have had a similar journey, having had weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
And I think that that's sort of where mine came from. I was a big joker growing up. Less about me, more because my parents had a volatile relationship. They're strangely still together, but things were quite volatile. And my mother had some struggles with her mental health and with illness as well, like physical illness. And so when shit hit the fan, I'd act like an idiot to lighten the mood.
Yeah. I can remember some of the messages I got, and I look back as a parent now because I have two sons, and honestly, I throw myself into my work, whatever it is, But the mom thing is far and away the most important and the most wonderful thing I've ever done. Because I remember, like, skating teachers. Well, first, I remember my mom putting me in skating. It wasn't my idea. I found out 20 years later that she and my grandma were worried that I was getting too chubby.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we'll put her in skating. I was petrified. And my skating teacher was like, you know, I'll give you $5 for every pound you lose. And my stepdad coming in one day, my mom made him come in to apologize for teasing me one day. And he didn't know better. Grade 9 education guy from Inganish in Nova Scotia, Angus.
Of course.
He sits down and he goes, I'm sorry, honey, but, you know, I love you. I'd just love you more if you lost 5 pounds.
Wow.
And that is
setting you up for a pile of unhealthy relationships along the way.
Yeah, so that's your normal. So you think, well, that's how the world thinks. Then I better tread water faster than anybody to distract from that so that maybe they'll like me despite my body. And I couldn't be happier that that's changing and that you look on social media and there are all the sizes, all the shapes. It's not perfect, but it's a whole hell of a lot better than it was 20,
Absolutely.
30 years ago, you know?
When you became a stand-up comic and your husband found out, shockingly, through that, through a third party, an unnamed third party, how did it change your relationship?
It was really hard, Sandra. It was really hard. He did not know this, first of all. And because, again, it was my secret dream and I couldn't jinx anything. And the way that he saw it, and I understand it better now than at the time, he had married this gal, Lori, who was very crafty and domestic. And as much as people think, oh, she's so fun, she must be such a partier, I'm not. I get off on, like, puttering around the house for a whole Saturday. Fantastic. Laundry.
Like,
love
moist
it.
Get off?
And that's why there's so much laundry. What? Oh. It just never stops. I don't know what I was talking about anymore. Right. So he thinks he's got this earth mother who's always wanted to have kids. All true. But in his mind, it was like, why do you need more? Why do you
What's
need to
wrong
go
with
out
this
there?
That you need more, yeah.
And why do these strangers need to like you? I like you. Am I not enough for you? And I'm like, well, no. And I know that I'm all you need, and that's fine. But we all have different needs that way. And I think mine are healthier, quite frankly.
He's quite a laid back, very quiet guy. We had a lovely discussion a couple of days ago on the catamaran.
I'm so glad you did.
And I didn't even know he was your partner. He's so laid back because he doesn't come to a lot of the functions. He doesn't partake because that's not his jam.
Yeah.
But that makes your relationship so special because he recognizes Lori needs to shine. I'm going to hang back.
Well, and that's really nice of you to him, but really the compliment should be mine. and I'll tell you why. Because I'm the wife going, okay, so there's this dinner at 6 o'clock tonight and I'm putting on a dress. And he says, okay, what should I wear? And I go, you don't want to go, do you? He's like, oh, no, honey, I'll do whatever you want me to. I'm like, or you could order a steak and room service. You could watch live PD and I could come back and we could eat candy later and then go to sleep.
I have noticed you go to bed early and I'm like, what is Lori?
Lori's watching cop shows and eating candy with her husband, and that's the secret to
you
marriage.
You said cop with a P, right?
I might have. I don't know. Let's play it back.
It's not his jam to do this, so you're letting him off the hook and making him happy?
Totally.
That's what
if
it's all about.
If you had an expectation that he would step up and be there and be the token husband, would he step up?
Yep.
But
for
you
sure.
love him enough to say,
yeah. I said, I want you to be happy. Like, I know you're happy because I'm your wife and I'm on this work trip.
I'm effing amazing.
I know that you have the best wife ever, but I'm going to make this even sweeter for you. You can stay in the room. Because he's an introvert, and that's where he gets his energy. Mm-hmm. And even me, like, I'm an extrovert, yes, and I'm loving this, but I also just did a 4.5-hour show, threw myself in the pool for a video, had a staff meeting, and if I don't get time alone today, I am going to rip your faces off.
I like to say I'm an omnivert.
Oh, I like that a lot.
I like
both things.
So you gotta
get all the stuff. I do too.
And that's what works in my relationship. My significant other lives an hour away. So I do my show. I don't speak to anyone on weekends. Mm-hmm. I'm step periphery parent extraordinaire and excellent girlfriend.
I know you are. Oh, I want you a little bit more now.
Oh. Yeah. Do you know
right
that I
here?
I think that you...
I'm pointing to my crotch.
Laurie, do you want me to clear the table? Hillary, you want me to just clear it right now?
Do it.
I'll video if you want. I don't care.
Right. No.
I'll encourage you. You and I are married to the same guy. We are married to the guy that also, yes... I'm married to your husband.
This does not surprise me a bit. And thank you for the time sharing. I appreciate the freedom. No, I heard that about your husband. And I've heard that there's a Tim. And I understand. I have sat at a dinner table with him. I don't know if he has a voice yet. But does it matter?
He has a voice when you talk about baseball.
Right.
Oh, well, we're
I went for lunch
then.
Yesterday and Sandra went to bed. And her husband joined my boyfriend and I for lunch. And I was like, I'm going to go to the room. And they were like, eh, fine. They had a lovely... conversation about baseball.
Yeah. But yeah, Tim's the same way. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. Listen, in the perfect world, I would love to have a little arm candy.
Why though?
Someone to get me drinks when I need them at parties.
So you need a butler from Sandals. You don't need a husband. No,
but, we get invited to a lot of events. I do like to bring my girlfriends. I mean, you guys all know my best friend, Deb. She is my plus one in life.
Deb, judge!
Deb is like that perfect friend that fits in your pocket and you can just carry with you everywhere.
And she fits into any situation. She's very...
what I mean.
Yeah, she really... And my pocket.
Yes.
She's tiny.
She's a small person.
I spent 10 minutes with her in Antigua last year and I want her to be with me at all times. We email now. It's weird. It's weird.
I would worry if you and I lived in the same city, you would get her, to be honest with you. I would worry about that a little bit.
I'd be very respectful of your arrangement.
Yeah.
I would.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to be a stand-up comic before your husband was like, okay, I'm in?
I think because the financial and business side of it is so bizarre to him, who's corporate man, and he would say, and not in a mean way, he'd say, so when do you start getting paid? Well, that answer is going to be different depending on what comedian you ask, and it'll be a different answer every time. Sometimes people will spend 5 years on amateur night, and then all of a sudden, somehow they find the funny switch, and all of a sudden it's paid gigs. I went fast, right? I figure I came in with some life experience. I studied it for 20 years being afraid. It felt right immediately. So I think the moment was there was a semifinals for the Great Canadian Laugh Off that Yuck Yucks put on every year, a comedy contest. And I was the finalist in Calgary, and I had been in comedy for 2.5 years. And when I phoned him after I won, which I didn't believe, I think that's when it started to turn for him. Like, oh, this isn't just a somewhat midlife crisis. She wants to try it once, like bungee jumping, and just say she did it. It's like, no, sorry, honey, but this is actually a passion down to my bones, the roots, and I can't not do it now. So he's come
That's
around.
That's hard, too, though, when somebody meets you with an expectation of this is what our life is going to be, and then it changes. And the really strong relationships happen when they can sort of slide with that. And you as a partner can slide with that because things will change again when our partners retire.
Oh, totally.
When we retire.
And full disclosure, because I don't want to paint a prettier picture than it really is. We went to counseling. We said the word separated. We discussed these things. This was serious stuff. And we sat outside the therapist's office on a bench, like just quietly crying and figuring out how we were going to make it work. And I guess when you decide and you both decide that it's going to, you do the work. And here we are.
Do you use your marriage as a punchline?
Barely ever. Barely ever.
You can't say the same, Sandra?
My husband gives me endless amounts of content.
Yeah.
He's a sweet boy, but God damn it, I can't divorce him because the content is too good.
Yeah, I get it. See, with Mike... That's the husband. I'm not saying you don't respect your husband. It is out of respect because he's a very private man. Until a year and a half ago, he was working in a big oil company in Calgary and had to have that stick up your butt corporate thing. And so anything...
With that sweet ponytail, really?
Oh, there was no sweet ponytail then, my friend. That's all new. So I respect him. But on the other hand, one of my sons has autism, and I talk about that. But that took me 5 years to figure out, how can I talk about this? That that puts an audience in a place where they can hear it and be able to laugh, and I can look at myself in the mirror and, more importantly, my son in the face and not feel bad about anything I've done.
Sandra, right. You taught me a really important lesson about comedy, and it's all intent.
Right.
So you have a theory about jokes. As long as you say them with the intent of telling a story, not about causing harm or in a sort of detrimental way,
right.
Nobody can really blame you.
I always
but
say,
they will.
But you know what? If
absolutely.
You tell, if you tell a joke, if you and I, we're all at dinner time, mm-hmm. and someone tells a joke that rubs me the wrong way, it will never rub me the wrong way if I know it wasn't mean-spirited.
Exactly.
I'll know it came from a good place, an innocent place, a place of, I was just trying to be funny. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Yes.
We're good.
I made a joke in a newsletter from work, and it was about a little person. And in my head, there was, the only intent was, this is funny. This would be funny no matter who you are. This would be funny if you're a little person. It wasn't mean. However, people with keyboards and anonymity.
Twitter, man, it's the worst.
Just a couple of them. Really had a problem and said it wasn't inclusive. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true. Or is it inclusive? Because I'm not afraid. By the way, we have a little person on scene with us here at the resort. Who
did
I
you
ran,
check it? Did
I
you
checked
like,
it.
I'm texting you this, James. Oh, what do you think?
Yeah, I wish I had checked it beforehand because then I could have had it. He thought it was hilarious. Everyone thought it was hilarious. But I love that you believe the intent. You know that.
I do, yeah.
I was sobbing.
Oh my God.
At
really?
One of the listeners' website things that came in, because for a second I believed what they were saying about me.
Is that not the hardest part about doing radio versus stand up comedy?
Uh-huh.
You do a stand up comedy show, you don't get the laughs. It's hard on yourself, but you get a personal text message telling you you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
How do you manage those?
Well, a social worker best friend of mine said that we all have to picture that we walk around life with a hula hoop around us. Now, in our hula hoop are all the things that make us who we are, our values, our beliefs, our closest people in our lives. Here's the thing about the hula hoop. Only you get to choose what's in yours. But it doesn't stop people from coming by and throwing a cow patty right in your hula hoop and going, hey, you hate little people. Hey, you're disrespectful. Hey, that's unprofessional. You have to be able to, you have to practice looking at those things that you didn't place in there and going, oh, thank you for your input, but this doesn't belong here. This is yours. Please move along. And it's very hard because I want people to like me because I think that,
well, because you're you, and well, you've lived your life experiences.
Because connecting with humans is what feeds my soul. So when it goes so sideways and they assume that about me, I go, oh, but what we could have had was so lovely.
It's the relationship that you never wanted to lose.
Yeah.
It's that boyfriend when you were 18 that you thought was going to be your love of your life forever.
But then I keep learning, because I don't know if you're into Brené Brown at all. But
I love her.
Oh!
I just got her new book.
Okay.
I love her.
So here's something she does. She says, on a 1 by 1 inch square of paper, write down the names of the people whose opinions truly matter to you. And if they can't fit, whittle down that goddamn list until it does. Now, when something goes astray, if the person who's complaining isn't on that 1 by 1 inch square, move the hell on. Okay? That's not who you're playing to.
You want people to like you, though.
Of course.
On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. how much does that matter? 10 being it matters so much.
Yeah,
my life.
It used to be 43 growing up. When I started comedy, I have a picture of me looking at the audience that someone snapped. And the picture screams, please like me. So that's what I put as the caption. Now, I don't, maybe I'm a 6.5. I don't like it. When someone doesn't like me, because, especially if we haven't given me a chance. Like,
right.
Give me a chance, and if
you
I'm not your
really
flavor.
You weren't listening to my bit, but you heard one little thing, and you didn't really get the context, but you're calling me a bitch.
Yes, but if we can be reasonable together, and if we can disagree but still be respectful, then you know what? Great, go on your way. There's a lot of people in the world. You're going to find yours. I'm going to find mine. Love you. Bye. So it's not as crippling as it used to be.
Well, the hardest part about radio is that people will punch in and out of your life.
Yeah.
Which is not real. I mean, who does that? But they'll punch in, decide they don't like your laugh or the way you handled one single Holy shit, look at that girl's ass. Holy shit. Look at her
ass. We're on the beach.
I'm sorry, we're on the beach right now.
Oh,
full on thong.
I was talking about her ass all morning on my show today. So... She bends over sometimes and it's spectacular. Okay. She's beautiful. Okay, so anyway, back to me not objectifying women.
There are literally people following her like a parade.
Yeah, little ducklings.
So, look, but when people punch in and they say, I don't like her laugh, and then they'll send you a note, I don't like you because your laugh sucks. They'll be like, oh, come on.
Okay.
Come on, give me a fair shot in life.
I loved your text this week. We have new promotion for our podcast, The Quick and the Dirty, on all of the Rogers stations across the country. And they happen to play one on 650 Sportsnet in Vancouver. And a man, I'm guessing about 67 years old,
yes,
worked in maybe finance or something and hates his wife,
yeah,
texted us and said that our advertisement was cringeworthy.
Oh.
And could you please stop? Sandra, what was your reply?
I said, this is your biggest problem today. Maybe you should listen to the podcast and explore your softer side.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
And I said even say moister side.
Oh.
And I think I wrote something else kind of bitchy in the middle. Yeah. But I thought, dude, you actually, you heard one 30-second commercial on a radio station in Vancouver, found out what the name of my podcast was, found out my name, Googled me, found out what radio station I work at, found out the website of the radio station I worked at, clicked on my morning show, and then sent a contact form to me. And that's how you found me and complained to me. I'm going to roll you up and stick you up my ass. Yeah.
Like, what else do you have going on in your life?
Give me a break.
Like, you have nothing?
So little. I often wonder that. And I mean, that is really the sad part. If I could give everybody the gift of therapy, that would be my wish for the world. It really would. Because
we are the world. We are the children.
How do you feel about that? Because every time I leave, I think, you know what? The world would be a better place. It just would. Yeah. And if you, how can you not like somebody who thinks that way? What's the matter with you? What's in your hula hoop? Get that shit out of your hula hoop.
That shit was out of my hula hoop.
Nothing is
second.
In his hula hoop.
I was so proud. So proud of my response. And even I said Hillary, because I CC'd her on my response because I needed her to see.
And I am the person that cares way too much about what other people think,
yeah,
to the point where it shuts me down. And I was like, ooh.
You actually, yeah. She said to me, Sandra, that was very snarky. I'm like, yeah, you know what? F that.
Usually I'm like
that.
Damage control. I'm like, I understand why you might think that way.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah, there are nice ways to say it. And I get called in for that. It's like, Lori, we need some wordsmithing. And it's true. And I'm very flattered about that because I do love the language so much. I do.
You really do.
I do. And I know.
So F you is not a responsible reply.
You know what? That's more of the remedial reply. We can get into more of an intermediate senior type thing. But there are days when I just want to go, I can't. I don't have it in me today. I can't be reasonable. I can't see it from their point of view. I just want to tell them to F off. I'm a nice lady. Just leave me alone. But I usually hold it together. But then I'll get on a comedy stage, and that's when I say, I'm off leash now. Comedy
right.
Lori is not radio Lori, so let's buckle up.
Do you get to complain about the radio life in your stand-up comedy?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because my boss, Gail, who you ladies know and love, and she's easy to love.
She's balls to the wall, no apologies as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
She's everything I want to be as a woman, and no, I never will be.
She, you know what? She's a lot of what I want to be, but I hope that I have helped her to slow down a little bit. She told us a story yesterday that while she was sitting here talking to a radio person yesterday morning, an older woman was trying to get her attention just for some chatty chat. And she said, I kind of did a bit of a Lori thing, and I started talking to her, and it was the best conversation I had all day. I'm like, yeah, talk to strangers. Slow the hell down, Gail. You can actually enjoy this. And you were talking about radio ratings with someone else. Like, anything's more interesting.
Agreed.
Really?
Agreed.
Really? I mean, I don't know the system you radio people use on how to figure out who's listening, but I hear it's flawed.
Yeah. And it's very, this business is so incestuous and you can get very caught up in it.
Mostly because I motorboat Sandra every day.
Well, I mean, you're making up for lost time. We only see each other 2-3 times a year, right? Girl. Yeah.
Right. No, but I totally understand. There's a amazing freshness and innocence about having somebody who joins the radio world a little bit later than the rest
of us.
Well,
and I appreciate that people say that, because I'll say something like, this is kind of a newbie thing, I think. And she'll go, no, because you still have the ears of a listener, which, if you've been immersed in radio your whole career, it's really hard to put yourself into that, I think.
Agreed, yeah.
Is that right?
I would agree with that, absolutely.
You're almost too dialed in.
I've never had any other job except radio. Right. I don't know how to be a person who has a real job, who lives 9 to 5. I pretend to understand.
Yes.
When you're coming in every morning, and I pretend to sympathize with you when you're driving, and, oh, traffic must suck. I've been doing, I don't care.
Things we ignore about our partners.
And Sandra's Googling, what does traffic look like?
That's right. What's it like to feel something? I don't understand that either.
Okay. I just remembered what we were talking about. So Gail, the boss that we're talking about,
right?
She came to a comedy show I did a while ago, and it was a bunch of people from the station. Sidebar, let me tell you, when a bunch of people from your station come to your comedy show, you are pooping hard, because
You have to see
those people on Monday morning in the halls, right? No, not representing. I don't care how I represent them. I have to look at their eyes in the hallways Monday. And if I bombed, they're looking at the carpet, and I know it, and they know it, and it's uncomfortable. Thankfully, it went well. But at one point, I said to Gail, I said, my boss is in the audience. I didn't know she was coming until today. And I said, so you need to know right now, there's Radio Lori, and there's this Lori. And then you hear from the crowd, Gail, she goes, you're fired! And I'm like, fuck off, I never liked you anyway. And so that was good. I haven't compromised my job with my comedy yet.
Well, yet is the key word on this
Clearly
equation.
Clearly, it's a slippery slope.
I don't think it's going to happen. Now, you have a lot of amazing female friends now in the radio world. But before that, in the comedy world, like, you have some friends that are moving up. I'm not sure on the pronunciation of her name.
Try it.
But I have watched her Netflix special, Isla Schlesinger. Close?
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
What is it?
Eliza Schlesinger.
She's so talented. Because she doesn't say her name enough.
She's all right.
You've opened for her. You guys are tight buds. You went to her wedding.
Mm. What happened was many years ago, she was dating a guy who used to be on the Calgary Flames. So, long-distance relationship. She'd come to visit him, and she'd pop by Yuck Yucks to do a workout, as she said. And I was like, I can't like you. You're speaking about exercise. But, no, the first time I met her, and I'd already seen her on Last Comic Standing, because that was her first real juggernaut, if you will. She was the first female and the youngest winner ever. So I see her, and she's going to do a spot on amateur night, and I'm closing the show. And so I saw her, and she had a bunch of the Calgary Flames with her. I don't give a shit about sports people. God love them. Hope you win, but I don't care.
I don't care.
Go team!
So, yeah. So all the boy comics are in the back, and we're looking. They're like, oh, my God, that's Jerome McGinley. That's so-and-so. And I'm like, shut up. That's Eliza Schlesinger. She was on Last Comic Standing. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to go be your friend. Watch this. And then I just sat. I went up. She had an empty chair beside her. She was mid-conversation. I sat there as if I belonged there. And I just stared at her until she looked at me. I'm like, hey, I'm Lori. I'm headlining tonight. By the way, thanks for going in front of me and ruining everything. And she's like, oh, it's nice to meet you. I'm like, want to be friends? Yeah. And then she liked my set. I obviously liked her set. And we're not just talking about the breasts. And and somehow we just bonded. And she had a very bad experience coming into comedy, because she was only 3 years into comedy when she won. So then they go on a tour, and the other comics were really, really rough on her.
That can happen, especially when most of the other comics are male. That happens in the radio world sometimes as well.
And they're saying,
the men really push the women down.
And they're like, we put in way more time than you. And so it was horrible. So she was really gun shy about making friends with any other comics. And I'm a golden retriever in Calgary, just going, hey, you want to play? And it worked out. We're still friends.
Pet me.
And I felt, don't pet. Just look at me. I don't even care. I found the women in comedy to be 99% supportive of each other. Yes, there's way more female comics than there used to be, but we still know that we started out as a minority, and so it makes you stick together. There's not many.
Right.
Mean
but what about
girls.
Competitiveness? You are there. I mean, I would suspect there's only a finite amount of jobs in comedy. There's only a finite amount of shows, gigs, tours, etc. Are you all competing for the same gigs? And if somebody else gets it over you, can you say you're genuinely happy for them?
I can. I can tell you that not
should
everybody
I love
can.
You? I love you for saying that.
Do you know what? When we talk about comics who get really bent out of shape when they don't get something, if I'm talking to them, because coming into comedy at 40, you end up being everyone's mom a little bit too, because I'm also really a mom.
Right.
And I say to them, you know, there isn't a finite amount of gigs. You, in this day and age in particular, you can make your own jobs in comedy. You can get in through YouTube now, where you used to have to know a booker named Dwayne who lived in New York, and
right.
he only saw people who had been in it for 12 years and had been there. And so I say, as long as you believe that there is a sense of lack, you will always be lacking. If you believe that there's an abundance, it'll always be there. It still sucks when you put your heart in, you worked really hard and you set in a festival set and you didn't get it. And then you have to do the, it's not personal. I don't know what they were looking for this year. That you don't know what they come to town with. Hey, listen, we're looking for guys in their 20s who are ethnic. We're looking
right,
for
sketch groups.
Right,
because they have to feed a certain demo, right?
Yeah. And
so wherever they're lacking, they might be filling a hole from people they already booked.
Yeah, and these are all just techniques that I use in my brain, because at the end of the day, if I'm at Yuck Yucks and it's Edmonton or wherever it is, and people are laughing and peeing their pants, that's what means the most to me. It's not the credits. Credits are great, but I want to make somebody pee.
I have some.
That's all I want.
Sandra already did.
I know.
Can I
just say one thing about that?
Mm.
And it's actually a question. I know the answer to this question if you asked me.
Mm.
But I'm going to ask you this question. Is making people laugh better than sex?
Yeah. No and hesitation.
I agree with that too.
Yeah.
No
and,
offense
and
to the husband.
And there's so many more different kinds
sex.
Of orgasms
yeah.
when it's laughter.
When I have a good radio show. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There's euphoric, there's sad, there's a million kinds. But when mm-hmm. I have a good show, or even I do an MCing gig, and I do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I try to treat it like, you know, like what you do somewhat. And I write jokes sometimes mm-hmm. because it's that big of an important crowd or whatever. And I walk off the stage and I get this feeling and it fills me up in a way no man can ever fill me.
It is
no
entirely
man can do that
true.
For me.
Because a man can fill a physical space, not your entire soul.
Right.
Right. And if I'm in a room, oh, there are the goosebumps. I think the biggest place I did was the River Cree Casino in Edmonton, maybe 2,300 people.
Wow, that's a big room.
When you can command the attention and pull the joy out of that many people, it's almost too much to process, which is why you get back to your room and you cannot sleep for hours. And that's why AA batteries are important.
And sleeping pills?
The AA batteries are more.
Not in that order, though. They're not in any sleeping
if you can kill a crowd and then have AA batteries, like,
oh yeah,
come on.
I have a question for both of you ladies, and I have my own experience as well. So I'm in my late 30s, and I'm getting to a point where I'm everybody's wife.
Pardon?
On air.
Oh, okay.
So you see the younger generation coming, and you want success for them. But then I also feel, because our industry is so male-dominated still, and I would imagine stand-up comedy very much the same, like there are more female comics,
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like guys especially don't know how to deal with women as they age. Once they no longer want to do them, what's your place in their world?
Yes. Well, that's when I turn into mom for a lot of them. Because with comedy, you're also on the road a lot. Especially Western Canada. Like, our gigs are 8 hours apart, as opposed to Ontario, where you can hit a lot of towns. And you get on the road with a guy who's younger. And in my case, no, they don't want to do me. But I can certainly be a mom, a nurturer, a therapist. Because the road is very cold and hard. And I'm very warm and soft.
But as an audience as well.
I think it's great because they see me get on stage, and I'm sure a lot of young guys are just like, oh, great, she looks like my mom. I am tapping out. This is not going to work for me. And then you show them it can.
You bring the fire, and you're like, yeah.
And they come up after, they're like, I had no idea. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah. It's like you're not valid once you hit 40. I feel that too. And I've now transitioned at my place of work because, ironically, we talked about your boss, Gail, used to be my boss here. And she was mom in our building. She was our radio mom for years. Mm. And now that she's left, I'm the next oldest bee. So
emphasis on bee.
And I don't have a natural maternal instinct because I didn't want to have one.
I don't believe you.
But now I do. And I embrace it. Yeah. And I work with a lot of young, super talented, like crazy talented people in my building, specifically at my radio station, like off the charts talented. And while I am utterly convinced they would happily take my job in a minute, that's okay. I'm realizing that's okay. One day they will.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, it's okay to be their mom and nurture them because that's the right thing to do. And why can't we all be friends until they cut my throat later in the beginning?
Oh, I was so close to a tear coming out until the cutting part.
I say that in jest,
yes.
But that's a natural order of radio, is that eventually our time will be up and younger, better people will come up. And it's important to support that.
But that's
it really is.
The natural order of everything.
Yeah.
As a good employer, you're always looking for, when this person decides they no longer want to do it, who is my backup?
Right.
But as that person who is currently doing it and may no longer want to do it, it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
I can see it. At this stage of life, because how old are you, Hillary?
I'll be 40 in a month.
Oh, that's exciting. don't be worried about it. Don't be worried about it. It's good. See, at 53, it's just a different life spot, too, because if radio ended quickly, as it would for an on-air person.
Usually like, with the word fuck.
Yeah. I've heard, we just shoot them in the head in the parking lot. Okay. And I know, because it's happened to me twice. And
You're going to the glue factory.
Yeah. And I
the
lived
radio
through it.
Glue factory.
Jesus, that's good.
And you live through it, and you go, well, you know, put the old mare out. It's fine.
What are you going to do?
Old glue stick. She'll be
what
all
are you
right.
going to do? Do you worry about that in radio?
No,
that,
there's no need to worry about it, because if the radio door closes, well, then I'm supposed to go and do motivational speaking or
right,
I'm going to be an actual
teacher. You have actual
teacher.
Skills.
Yeah. You know what? I make up skills. I'm like, well, you know what? I am kind of smart about life and I'm super funny. So on the side, I decided I'm going to be a speaker. And someone said, how do you do that? I said, you just decide and tell everyone that's what you do now. And they hire you and give you money.
Where did you find your confidence? Because I know you said that it wasn't always there. At what moment was your turnover?
There wasn't a moment. It's one of those boring life things where you just have to keep at it, right? Nose to the grindstone. Age helps. Not
really? Because that's what I'm most insecure about.
Oh,
age is a
no,
beautiful. Age is terrifying, Hillary, at first, until you realize that age gives you the right to say, what the fuck? Whenever you want.
It really
and
does.
You know what? And I earned this. And I've worked for this. And I deserve this.
And
age gives you that right.
The things that were so important to me, like in my 20s, was it's important to be wanted by men. That was just sort of the age that I grew up at. Like, you're supposed to be pretty for men. That's
right.
Your job.
I'd like to be told I'm pretty.
Right? And listen, this is no fishing. I am an average-looking woman. I look beautiful when I smile because you can see my soul come out. But you're not going to put me on the cover of your magazine. I get it. But you know what? Now, I don't want people to like me for that reason. I want them to like me for the things I've worked years on, like my attitude and my kindness and my warmth and my inclusivity and wanting to bring people in. Not that shallow shit.
Do you think that that's been a little bit of a mindfuck for you over the years? Because you, like I, went through a period where you were much heavier, you lost some weight. And I know that that transition was huge, where at the point that I lost my 100 pounds and people were giving me more attention, I was like, screw you, don't you dare.
Really? So what was going on in your head when they would give you compliments?
It was just really alarming. And there were two times in my life. I handled it a lot better my second time through weight loss. My first time, I was in my 20s. And boys would rub up on you in the club.
And when you're not used to that, it's alarming.
You're not used to it? Or people that would have, till that point, ignored you. Like, when you're in your 30s, yeah. it's a little bit different with men. They see the intellect, they see the drive, and they're attracted to that as well. But in your 20s, it's really just a physical, like,
yeah.
my penis is working, and you look like a great place to put it.
That's, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So
did wow, you that's... did you want to say to them, you know what? A year ago, you wouldn't have even looked at me, you douchebag.
I was an angry person.
Mm,
and
I get it.
So it took me that second round to really get it and do it for me, not for others.
Yeah. My first round, I remember feeling quite exposed. Like I wore just a shirt that was slightly form-fitting. When I'm used to wearing tunics, give me a tunic.
The old muumuu.
To be fair, that rack is enviable.
Oh, thank you very much. It's just hoisted. That's the only reason it looks so good. But I remember wearing this shirt and people noticing me and commenting on my body and my brain being like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it's uncomfortable. And even if though it's a compliment, mostly I'm used to trying to get people to ignore my body.
Right.
So I feel weird. And I'm better with it now, but it's also a different time. It's not as acceptable to comment on a woman's body, even if you mean it innocently.
I feel like women are more comfortable commenting on their friends' bodies and like lifting up.
Yeah.
Like, I love that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where Sandra looks fantastic, and I'm not like Sandra looks fantastic. I'm like, damn, Sandra looks fantastic, and she should know.
Yes, yes. And can you say those things to yourself?
No.
There's something to work on.
Right.
Just last night when you said that, I was walking down the path towards dinner, and the sun was setting, and my silhouette was on the sidewalk
right,
in front of me.
Right, because I had mentioned your dress at dinner and how frigging fantastic you looked.
And I looked at that silhouette and said, fuck, I love that curve right there, just the waist to hip one. And I went, holy shit, I have come a long way. Ooh, that's big goosebumps. Wow.
Yeah. Your relationship with other female comics.
Yeah.
You say it's not competitive. Do you have your relationship with, what is a stronger bond that you have with male comics? Do we hate them or do we like the female comics? How do we feel about male comics? Yeah. Again, we talked about the way the men are with new female comedians, but you became a new female comedian later in life. Did they dare with you at 40? Did they even dare? That's what I want to know. Because at 40, I didn't put up with a lot of shit.
I was really, really insecure when I came into it. And yeah. I was just, I don't know what I was doing. Thank God. Did they dare what?
Did they dare treat you the way they treated your friend?
Not really. But that was also me in the very needy stages of me. Please like me, everyone. Please like me, everyone.
Yeah.
I know I look like a mom. I know I look like a housewife. I know it seems like Roseanne. She's trying to be that person. But just give me a chance, please, please.
Do you think that gave you an advantage, though? Because they can't say, oh, well, she's only successful because she's hot. Well, like, I honestly feel like in this business, as well as in stand-up comedy, it's like, well, they don't really want to hear what she has to say. They just want to look at her.
It is, but then you'd ask someone like Eliza, who's stunning, and she would say, well, that's why I play everything down on stage. That's why she has a beautiful chest, all natural, but she'll smush that down into a sports bra because
yeah,
she don't want people noticing that.
High top.
Yeah. I think when I came in, the thought probably was, here we go again. It's a mom. It's a bored housewife. And she's trying this. It's on her bucket list. Her therapist told her to go out and try something to boost her confidence. Whatever preconceptions they might have had. Or maybe they were just real nice and said, let's give her a chance. Who knows?
Or she's bloody funny.
But then they were like, oh, shit, she is bloody funny. That doesn't happen very often when middle-aged women start comedy. It can happen. And I've seen it. I have some great friends in the very same boat. But they don't normally think you're going to be one to catch on.
I love you, Laurie Gibbs, in a way that I can't describe, so I'd like to show you later, if that's okay.
Again? I mean, how
many?
We
said we weren't going to talk about that.
I love you. Let me say, before you wrap up, because I can feel a pebble on my head. I know. I know what's happening here. get it. I get it. I'm a radio professional. You two are, I knew right away with both of you that we were in the tribe together, and there is a kindness and a love and a warmth combined with a beautiful, snarky, irreverent, sarcastic bent that I enjoy so much. And the fact that we can talk about the stuff that we've mastered and the stuff that we know we need, we have some opportunities for growth, but you know, we all do want to grow at some point after we, you know, get it out of our system. And I think that's what's going to push us forward. And that's why I should be the president of your United States. What?
What
just happened?
What just happened here?
I don't know.
I don't know. He took a turn, but it took a beautiful turn.
Gibbs for president.
Gibbs for president. I don't know what's going
no
on
walls.
Here.
You
know
no what? Walls.
When Kim Campbell became the prime minister of Canada, I was so pissed because I thought I would be the first female prime minister. Mm. I would vote for you, Lori. She wasn't a real one because it was like a real vote. If
Let's
you
go
ran
in as a trio. We'll go in as a trio.
I've already booked your campaign office.
Can I be Secretary of State? No, that's U.S. I'll be, I don't know, something here.
You can be the Secretary of my bosom.
Can I be the MP of your crotch?
Yes!
Yes, Lori!
Lori Gibbs, thanks so much for joining us, and I hope we get to do this again someday.
Me too. I love you guys.
Love you.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.